Me, myself, and I, being thankful for self-centered, it's servant-focused. And so me, myself, and I, being thankful for yourself, we're going to continue along that vein for the month of November. And today, I want to encourage you to stir it up. Stir up the gifts or fan the flame that is in you, that the God has deposited gifts and things in you that need to be stirred up to fan the flame. And whenever there's a fan going, look at the fans on the ceiling here. We could spin them around, spin them around, spin them around, and all kinds of things, dust, if we had the power in those fans, dust would be flying. Not anymore, Teresa, sorry. She's there would be less dust, but there would be stuff stirring around, and that's what I'm hoping to do today, is to stir you up, to help you fan the flame of the gifts that are in you. And the person that I want to use as an example in the scriptures to do that is Timothy. Because Timothy seemed to be rather timid in his calling. He knew he was called. He had experienced the call of God upon his life. And we're going to go through those highlights for just a moment. So if you want to turn to Acts chapter 16, Acts chapter 16, verse 1. Then he came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was a Greek. So we understand that his mother was saved, and later on we're going to understand that his grandmother was also saved. So his grandmother got saved, his mother got saved, and now Timothy is following the Lord also. So because of his grandmother's influence, because of his mother's influence, Timothy has been influenced by the Lord and is serving the Lord. We also understand that his father was not at this time serving the Lord. And so there was some dysfunction, if you will, in the family. But that doesn't disqualify Timothy, does it? That doesn't disqualify Timothy from being used by the Lord, from being deposited into by the Lord. And so whatever dysfunction that you're coming from, maybe your family is dysfunctional, maybe you got some dysfunction in your own life, let me say to you to this day that that dysfunction does not disqualify you. That dysfunction does not disqualify you from the work of the Lord. Now, the Lord will help you with your dysfunction because He wants you to be functional more than you want to be. He wants to set you free, for where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And where the Son came to set you free. He doesn't want you sitting around in your dysfunction all the time, but He doesn't want you to use your dysfunction as an excuse in order not to be used by the Lord. That wasn't even in my notes, sorry. He was well spoken of, verse 2. He was well spoken of by the brethren who were in Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted to have him go with him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in that region, for they all knew his father was a Greek. This scripture probably means a little more to men than women. But Paul sees him and understands that God has gifted him. And remember, John Mark and Paul had a falling out. John Mark wanted to go home to his mother, and Paul said, look, if you're going to abandon us, we're not going to take you. So go home to your mother. And Barnabas, being the encourager he was, he went with John Mark. Paul picked up Silas, and they went on these missionary journeys. And then comes Timothy. Paul sees something in Timothy, and he takes him along with him. And the first thing that Timothy has to do is get circumcised. Wow. Why does Paul make Timothy do that when he's fought so hard against being circumcised before? In Galatians and other places, he says, don't do that. If you're going to do that in order to be right with the Lord, you might as well go all the way and emasculate yourself. So why does he have Timothy do that? Well, because it's not about salvation here. It's not about Jesus and something else in order to be saved. It's about understanding that the people that they're going to need to be reached, and that will be a stumbling block. Now, how they would know that that's a stumbling block or not for Timothy, I have no idea. But apparently they did. And so Paul has him go through that so that he can evangelize right along with Paul. We understand from Scripture that he's left by Paul in Berea to help that church there, and that's found in Acts chapter 17. He rejoins Paul at Corinth. That's found in Acts chapter 17. He's sent to Macedonia after Paul has the vision. Timothy is sent there. He's rejoined by Paul and accompanies Paul to Asia. That's found in Acts chapter 20. He sends salutations to the Romans. He's there when the book of Romans is being written. Again, he's sent to the Corinthians. He's seen in the postscript of the Corinthians. He preaches to the Corinthians. He's sent to the Philippians. He's sent to the Thessalonians. He's left by Paul in the Ephesus. He's confined to prison in Rome with Paul. He's in the postscripts of Philippians, Philemons, and Hebrews. He's there when those are being written. He's ordained a bishop in Ephesians. You can see that in 2 Timothy. He joins Paul in the epistles of the Philippians, Colossians. He's the amanuensis. That means he's the writer of the epistles. Paul speaking to him, and Paul and Timothy writes them down to quite a few of the books. He has quite a history, doesn't he? He has quite a history. He's seen God move in all of those situations. He's been called by the apostle. The apostle Paul sees him and calls him and tells him to come along. And he gets to go along on quite a ride. We understand that he was in prison from Hebrews chapter 13. We understand that he gave his life to the Lord, for the Lord. We understand that from the Scripture. We understand that he had zeal. We understand also that he had some fear. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. We understand from just the brief overview, the brief highlights that I've just given you, that he was all over the then known world preaching the gospel. He wrote down the very words of Paul, and we have them here in this Bible today. But when we come to 1 and 2 Timothy, when he's the bishop of Ephesians, of the Ephesus church, when we come to 1 and 2 Timothy, we see some things that Paul has to remind him of. And in the 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18, these are some of the things that Timothy has to be reminded of. This charge I entrust to you, Timothy, my child, in accordance with the prophecies previously made about you, that by them you may wage the good warfare. He has to be reminded because of the things that are going on in 1 and 2 Timothy, because of the people that are in those churches, there's some false doctrine being laid out. There's some people that are very, very strong in their opinions. There are people that are very, very strong in this false doctrine, preaching something other than Christ. And Paul is coming against them, and he's telling Timothy, you have to come against them too. You can't let them stand. You have to fight them. They'll destroy the works of God. You have to stand, and don't let people despise your youth. And he's trying to build them up. Paul is trying to build Timothy up by reminding him, I entrust to you, my child, in accordance with the prophecies previously made about you. Prophecy in that scripture means just the word from the Lord, a direct word from the Lord regarding Timothy. And apparently Paul had some prophecies about Timothy. And Paul is telling him, remember those. Remember those. That will help you stir it up. That will help you fan the flame. Remember those words, those prophecies spoken to you. And because why? Because you're going to have to use them. You're going to have to remember them. You're going to have them cleanse your mind so that you can wage war. Wage the good war. Because there is a fight that will come against you. And for some of you, that fight is very, very real today. And you need those prophecies about yourself to wage that good war. When the enemy comes against you like a flood, you need to be able to say, oh, no, no, no. That's my past. That's not my future. That's not even my today. Today is the day of the Lord. Today is the day of my salvation. My God is for me. He is not against me. And if greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world, that is a prophecy to you.
I know it's in the Word of God right now. It's written to you, but it is a prophecy to you. It's like Paul himself in the book of Ephesians, in the book of Timothy, is standing above you, and you're kneeling down in front of him, and he is laying his hands upon you. And he's saying, stir it up. Remember the prophecy. He might not be here in person. He might not be here, and you might not be at the altar, and he may not be laying his hands on you specifically, but you can say that the Word of God is a prophecy. It is the spoken Word of God to you, right? Amen. It is the spoken Word of God to you. Yes. It was spoken through Paul, written down by Timothy and other people, and given to you. So it is like an ordination service. Right here today, when the Word of God is being spoken to people and the laying on of hands of the apostles is being laid upon you, I want you to be able to sense that. Use your imagination a little bit today. It's all right. We're not Middle Eastern. And we're not New Agey. And I'm not going to have incense burning. And I'm not going to ask you to I'm going to just ask you to use your imagination a little bit and understand that the Lord himself is laying his hands upon you and asking you to remember the prophecies spoken of you. What are some of those that you are equipped to do the work of the Lord? That he has gifted you. That he has deposited the Holy Spirit within you. That you do have a new mind. And that you do, you can know the mind of the Lord. That your vision can be different than it is right now. And he's reminding Timothy, because he's coming up against all these people who have a better idea and think they understand God better than him. And he's tired of the fight. But he says, remember the prophecy. Remember the prophecy so that you can fight good. So that you can fight the good warfare. And I'm here to say to you that some of you need to remember the prophecy of the Lord spoken over you. And maybe you did have a direct prophecy. Maybe someone did have a word from the Lord for you. You need to remember that. You need to write it down. But most of all, you need to remember what it says in the Word of God about you, because it is a prophecy to the Lord, from the Lord to you. You need to use it. You need to stir it up. You need to stir it up. You need to be in the Word so that you can fight the good fight. Next slide, please. Another one in 1 Timothy 4, 14. It says, do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by the prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. This is probably when Timothy was ordained for the ministry. The elders laid their hands on them and prophesied. Again, the prophecy is an inspired declaration of divine will and purpose. Prophecy in that scripture is an inspired declaration of divine will and purpose. Don't neglect the gift. Don't neglect it. Work on it. Develop it. It's given to you. What happens when you neglect a gift? What happens when you don't use the gift? You use it or you you use it or you lose it. You must believe that God has given you gifts, both personality-wise, both natural gifts and supernatural gifts, and we're going to get to those in just a moment. But you must believe that God has deposited his gifts within you, both naturally and supernaturally. And some of us waste too much time wishing we had everybody else's gift, and we neglect our own. I can wish all I want that I could play this piano. I wish I could. Oh God, even help me. And it doesn't appear that he wants to. I can do. Well, I can't even do that. I don't know. I can waste all my time wishing I had this gift or understanding that that's not my gift. I can waste all my time neglecting the gifts that I've been giving, trying to develop this gift and understand that it's not even there. Why should I waste my time on a gift that God has not given me? Or why should I waste all my time concentrating on all my weaknesses, trying to develop my weakness? Because all I'll end up within the end is a really strong weakness. Why not focus on the gifts that God has given me? I understand that you have to operate in your weak areas. We all do, right? If we're in this natural life, we all have to operate in areas that we don't like, don't need, wish we could delegate, all of those kind of things. But if I spend all of my time there, I'm neglecting what God has already placed in me. And I need to develop those things. And if I don't, they will shrink. They will shrink. You need to figure out, and we're going to talk about this next week. We're going to actually talk about all the gifts. And I'm going to try to help you figure out which one you are, which ones you have, all of those kind of things. But today I just wanted to lay the groundwork. God has said something to you. God has said something about you. You are His child, and if you don't like yourself, if you don't think, oh, God will speak to everyone else, He won't speak to me, what are you doing? You've looked at the circumstance because you've been defeated in the past, because you've tried in the past, because you've stepped out in the past, because someone hasn't recognized it. You know, I still have to get over, every time that I try to sing to you, I still have to get over being in Wilmer and having them say to me, you don't have a voice. You can't sing in the choir because you don't have a voice. So I would sneak up there on purpose. The choir director wouldn't know I'd be up there until I was already up there. Yeah, that's really fun. She'd just give me a look. And but every time I try to sing now, I have to think about that. I get to think about that. And I have to fight the good warfare, don't I? I have to fight the good warfare. It's not the choir director's word, it's God's word. And some of us, really, some of us, as a side note, need to take other people's opinions of us sometimes good. What I mean by that is, if you can't sing, and if you can't hold a tune, and you're not willing to practice, then why say you can't? Why not develop what you're good at, what He has developed in you? Now, you have to be careful with that, don't you? I don't believe it. You should approach your life that you can do anything you want to as long as you put your mind to it. Why waste your time? I could train all I wanted to be a linebacker for the Vikings or the Packers or whoever else. I could train and tell myself and tell myself and tell myself, and I still run too long in one spot. Why waste my time? The inspired declaration of divine will and purpose. That's the prophecy. God has a purpose for you. Do not neglect it. Do not neglect it. Next slide. For this reason, I remind you to fan the flame, the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of hands. For this reason, I remind you to fan the flame. If you want to turn with me to 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. There's different sections in the scriptures about gifts. Some are motivational. That means why you tick. Some of you are very, very detailed. That kind of thing. That's what makes you tick. That's who you are. That's a God-given gift to you. Your personality is different than mine. Mine is different than yours. I don't necessarily care. Well, yes, I do. The older I get, the more I care about the details. But some of you, that comes natural to. That is a motivational gift. We're going to look at the manifestational gifts found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministry, but the same Lord. What do you see there? There is diversity, but there is sameness, right? There is diversity, but there is sameness. It's the same Lord, the same God, the same baptism. It is the same Lord who motivates, who shares with us, who takes care of us, who we are worshiping and who we are giving our gifts to and who we got our gifts from. It is the same Lord, but it is diversity. We can have unity and diversity at the same time. And the enemy, if we are not careful, will fight against the unity that we have. He will fight against us, and we need to find that protection in that unity. And we need to fight for the unity of the brethren in this congregation, because if we don't, the Holy Spirit will not flow the way He wants to. It seems to be a criteria, if you will, for the moving of the Spirit to be able to flow without hindrance. The body must be in unity. We must find the place of agreement within diversity. So there is freedom to be who you are, but you must come under the umbrella of the unity of the Spirit. You must come under the umbrella of the unity of the Spirit. There are diversity of activities, but the same God who works all in all. But the manifestations of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, or another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each individual as He wills. Now these are manifestational gifts. And let me just tell you what I think those mean. And we're going to discuss them further next week. But those are manifestational gifts. What that means is, he says, one time I give it the word of knowledge to this person. One time I give a word of wisdom to this person. But it's all the same Spirit. What that means is, to me, is those manifestational gifts can be given to each one of us when they're needed. They are operational in nature. That's what that means to me. So let's say that, Greg, come out of the parking, or you come out of the building here, and you slip on a piece of ice and break your leg. No, I'm not a prophet. But let's just say that you come out of the building here, you're going to your car, and you slip on a piece of ice and break your leg. And there's three or four of us around there, and we can hear him just make a little whimper. But because he's tough, it won't be an out and out girly scream. We go running over there, and his leg is going this way, and his foot is going that way. We don't need a word of wisdom there, do we? We don't need a word of knowledge there. We don't need a discerning of spirits there, do we? What do we need? Gift of healing, gift of faith. Miracles. So can I ask for that? I can, right? So why not ask? Why not put your hands on him and stir up the gift? Stir up the gift. Whether he gets healed or not is up to God. But we're going to believe that it is God's will to heal him. I can ask for word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits. Let's say that you and your wife are at wit's end. She can't stand you and you can't stand her for whatever reason it is. And they're usually pretty small, but accumulative over time, right? So you finally decide we got to do something about it. So who are you going to come to but me? Because God knows that I have all the answers. So we end up in my office, and I know we're in trouble because instead of sitting on the love seat by each other, you sit in opposite ends of the room. And I think, oh, they are mad at each other. So I make you sit in the love seat, and you sit straight ahead. You don't even peer at each other. Can I ask God for the discerning of spirit, word of wisdom, so that we can just kind of cut to the chase, so that we can get to it, so it's not about, well, she parks me in every... He squeezes the middle of the toothpaste. No, there's something else. There's something else there, isn't there? There is, right? Can I ask God to reveal it to you and to me? I can. Stir it up! Stir it up! Fan the flame! And that's what he's telling them. For this reason, I remind you to fan the flame, the gift of God which is in you, through the laying on of my hands. We can do this. God has enabled us to do this. Stir it up. Fan the flame. Quit telling yourself you can't do it, because you can't do it anyway. It's all God anyways, and he says you can, so let's just believe him and stop believing the lie. It's not you anyway. And he's got to prove that to you over and over, I suppose, and to me. It's not me anyway. It's me, so why not just believe me? It's a lot easier road than to be an unbelieving Christian. So let's fan the flame. Next one. And then you kind of see what he's up against, what Paul's up against with Timothy. He's been battered and beaten and torn down, and he's young, and people don't respect him because he's young. And he might have done some young things and all of those kind of things. And they think they got all the answers, and he doesn't, and they're going to train him. And Paul has to remind them, reminding of something. He has to remind them, remember this. Remember it, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love. He's saying to Timothy, remember it. Remember that God has not given you a spirit of fear. Fear is not from God. We find out in 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, that perfect love casts out all fear, and fear deals with torment. Some of you are tormented by fear. Some of you are tormented by fear, and you know that if naturally I would go there. Naturally, that torment is upon me sometimes. I don't like it, don't want it, I wish I didn't have to deal with it, those kind of things. But it deals with torment, and it's stopping you from being who you are. It's stopping you from being who God has called you to be. It's stopping you from even recognizing that you are gifted, not for yourself, but for the service of the Lord. Not for selfish gain. And in Philippians chapter 2, verse 19 through 23, Paul says something interesting about Peter. About Timothy. He says, I'm sending Timothy to you because he's not looking out for his own interests. He's looking out for the interests of the Lord Jesus Christ and yours. And there are very few people like him. I can send him to you because I trust him, because he's not looking out for his own interests. He's looking out for the interests of the Lord, and he's looking out for your interests. I can send him to you, and I'm gonna. So, again, if you're going to use these gifts so that you can feel good about yourself, you will fall flat. Or if you're going to use these gifts so that other people will feel good about you, you will fall flat. But if you're going to use these gifts to bring glory to the Lord and for other people, you can always win. And it really doesn't matter if they like you, don't like you, whether they respond, oh, Tyler, that's beautiful. You're the greatest thing since sliced bread. And now I know to take that with a grain of salt, because next week you could say, I don't like sliced bread. I know. So what's your motivation? You can do this for the Lord, and you can do it to be a servant, and you can always succeed that way, and the Lord will take care of your self-image. The Lord will take care of your reward. And what you've done in secret and decided not to shout from the rooftop, guess what?
He knows that already.
So, he has not given you a spirit of fear.
I'm almost done. Will you get that psalm ready, please?
He has not given you a spirit of fear. Don't be tormented by fear. Don't be tormented by it. It will come on you. I understand a little bit about this. I do understand a little bit about the spirit of fear. It will try to defeat you. Nighttime is the worst. Sometimes. Nighttime is the worst. I cannot wait for morning. But then I remember his mercies are new every morning. Do not be tormented by fear. Stand. Do great warfare. Do good warfare. Remember the prophecies. Do not be tormented because perfect love cast out all fear. That means he loves me just the way I am, even though I wake up in the middle of the night. Even though I'm not the easiest to live with sometimes. I gave you an opening there, Mel. Don't give in to fear. Because the Lord can take that fear and turn it on its ear and make you depend, because of it, he can make you depend on him even more. And so fear can be turned into faith. It's a sweet exchange. So what we're going to do now is, what I've tried to say to you is, remember the prophecies. Remember God's inspired word to you. Remember. Stir it up. Fan the flame. Don't be defeated today. Don't be defeated today. Lift up your eyes. Hear the word of the Lord to you today. He has deposited into you good things. He has deposited into you gifts, both naturally and supernatural, by the Spirit. And they are lying dormant because some of you have to be reminded, like Timothy, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. That is like Paul standing above you, you kneeling down before him laying his hands on you and saying to you, remember, Joe, remember, I have not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Remember it. Stir it up. Stop trying to be someone else. Learn from those people. Bless them. Rejoice in their blessing. Be free today. And remember, it's not about you. It's about God and serving others. That's what Timothy did. And Paul still had to say to him, hey boy, remember my son. You're my son. Remember, I got gifts. They've been placed in you by the prophecies, by God through the prophecies. Remember them. Stir it up. I'm going to ask her to play this song. We've sung it here before. I'm just going to ask you to stand. For some of you to be able to stir it up, you're going to have to not move in fear, but faith. That doesn't mean you won't have the absence of the emotion of fear. That would be wonderful, wouldn't it? That doesn't mean that you'll have the absence of the emotion of fear, but you're going to have to say, no. Because of the prophecy, because of what God has said to me, I don't have to give in to that emotion anymore. I have it. Yes, I do, and I give that to the Lord. But I can move in faith in spite of having the emotion of fear. And because faith is born of the Spirit and fear is born of the flesh, fear has to give in to faith. Because the fear the spirit is always more powerful than the flesh. So she's going to play this song, stir it up in my heart. And as she does, if you want to come to the altar, you certainly can. If you want to just sit in your chair and ask the Lord, Lord, stir me, speak to me, prophesy over me, give me the word of the Lord, rebuke me if you need to. But my premise today is fan the flame, stir it up. You've been given gifts, you need to stir it up. That's our prayer today, Lord. That's our prayer. Stir us up, Father. Thank you for placing the gifts within us. Thank you for the reminder that we can be stirred up and that we can be used by you, not for ourselves, but for you. Not for selfish gain, but for the gain of others and for the gain of the kingdom of God, which is really a freeing attitude to have. And so, Lord, stir us up. Help us discover what our gifts are. And, Lord, I know that we have to operate in areas that aren't our giftings sometimes just by living in this world. But, Father, help us develop into the people that you want us to be. I ask this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. God bless you today. Have a beautiful, beautiful Sunday. And just a reminder, B group.